You're listening to Cross Currents from KELW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Last year, when the ban was first announced, many people were outraged, nationally and here in the Bay Area. At SFO, people brought signs and stood in the arrivals hall, chanting to make their point against the ban. Lawyers spent whole days sitting on the floor of the airport, typing up their cases, trying to get clients out of immigration. But now that the Supreme Court has upheld the ban, it's become harder for activists, human rights lawyers, and community organizers to help those affected by it. One of those groups is the Asian Law Caucus. Muhammad Talib is one of its community advocates. He's also Yemeni and came to our studios to update us on what cases they're seeing. First, I asked him about one part of the travel ban policy that's been somewhat of a relief for many people. Consulates can still grant visas to people from those countries through special waivers. But according to Talib, those have been hard to come by.
The only way for applicants to get a visa at this point is through a waiver. So the waiver is, acts as an exemption to the ban. Mm-hmm. Right. To get a waiver, you have to prove three things, the applicant, right? So denying entry to the visa applicant will cause the visa applicant undue hardship. That's number one. Number two, applicants entering the U.S. won't pose a threat to national security. And thirdly, it's in the national interest of the U.S. to grant this applicant a visa.
Okay. So if you meet those conditions, you will get a waiver.
Right.
To the ban. And be able to get a visa and come.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so every one of those countries meet those like conditions, right? People are like escaping, right? War, hardships, famine, poverty, right? But there's no formal process. There's no application. We've had clients who need urgent medical attention. We've had clients who are separated from their spouses, from their newborns, from their young children, from their grandparents, from their siblings, specifically with Yemenis, because I am Yemeni, so I get to speak on Yemen a little bit more.
And also, yes, please. Mm-hmm.
And also, like, a lot of our cases at the Asian Law Caucus are Yemenis when it comes to this. Right, so some Yemenis, right, they've been stuck in the scorching heat of Djibouti. Mm-hmm. Right, along with two other consulates, but Djibouti is like the main one. And now they're hopeless.
So there's no consulate fear-fit. In Yemen?
No consulate in Yemen. Yeah, because of the war, the consulate in Sana'a got shut down, mm-hmm. right? Airports are being shut down. And so just to get to Djibouti, that's a whole nother conversation in itself. You have to find like a boat to cross the water, right? That's a few days in itself, depending on how many people, depending on the war, depending on, right? There's like checkpoints along the way. You're literally dodging like missiles. People are thinking you're like part of like some sort of side, right? Whether you're like the Houthi rebel group or, right? And so there's a lot to it before they even get to Djibouti.
Mm-hmm. So they get to Djibouti.
Yeah.
And then?
So they get to Djibouti. Either you have some sort of like interview, right? You go to your interview. After the interview, the consulate gives you some sort of response, whether it's in paper form, an email. With a lot of Yemenis and with a lot of Syrians and Somalis and different folks, depending on what embassy you're at, right? People are either in administrative processing, which is like a hold, refused or denied. Mm-hmm. And so then you're stuck because everyone is telling you, you know, you're going to be eligible and, you know, it's a long process, but there's the waiver, but there's no process to the waiver. And so that's where the hopelessness comes in, right? That's where all the unanswered questions come in. That's where families are being separated. That's right. I've had a Syrian father who applied in, I can't remember which, I think it was like in Jordan or something. He has 8 kids. Right, and his wife. 3 of his kids got visas and came in with him to the U.S. 5 of his kids are stuck there with the mother, right, mm-hmm. because they're in administrative processing. And so it's been like this for months, and he's stuck, right? He came up to us. We gave him a free consultation, and he was like, what do I do?
And what do you tell them?
Right.
What can he do?
Right. So, you know, depending on each person's case, you have, like, limited pathways, right? Either you just kind of keep bothering the consulate but that kind of doesn't really go anywhere. You could reach out to your congressional representatives. Under the law, the embassy has to respond to those congressional leaders. But it's usually the same answer as like if you were to reach out to them directly. Mm-hmm. But really what it is just you're waiting. And it's hard for our lawyers to advise them because it's usually the same answer. Like you could try, but there's not much you could do.
And that's a hard position for you and, right. you know, the lawyers to be in. Like, you want to help.
Right.
You don't know what to do either.
Right.
I mean, that just shows how confusing this time is. But how do you end up helping people? Like, what can you do? What are you doing?
Right. You know, depending on their case, depending on what the consulate sent them, we have some cases where they actually sent them an acceptance letter. Mm-hmm. Saying like, yo, you're going to get the visa. But then when they go to the consulate, they issue them like a denial letter. And that's like a whole nother like confusion on top of all the different layers that are already there. And so let's see, we're in July. Since December of 2017, since the Supreme Court let the ban go into full effect before they even made their decision in June, right? Since then, there's only been around 500 to 800 visas that's been accepted mm-hmm. out of the tens of thousands of Yemenis that have been applying, mm-hmm. out of the thousands of Libyans, Syrians, Iranians, right? That's 2%.
So even if it's not a total, it feels like there's a ban, but there's a waiver. But to get the waiver, you know, there's all of these other hoops that you have to jump through and just wait and just
right.
wait.
Right.
And so how do you feel about doing this work? And,
right.
It's hard.
Yeah, it is. I think some of the lawyers have described it as like a multi-headed, like hydra or animal, right? As soon as you get rid of one head, right, two more come up, right? For me personally, it's been kind of numbing in a way. That's not the case with our clients who are like fearful and anxious, but for me it's been kind of numbing, right? Because I've been kind of normalizing these conditions throughout my life, right? I have 12 siblings, 6 brothers, 6 sisters. I'm right in the middle. Mm. For a while, my oldest sister and her family, the immigration process for her was a very long one. I think it took 10 plus years. And this was before the Muslim ban. Then the Muslim ban hit, and that was around the time she was like going to Djibouti with her like 7 children and her husband. And being stuck in Djibouti for, I think it was over 6 months. My other sisters, their husband are currently stuck in Djibouti. They're going into, I think, a year and a half now. One of them got accepted. One of them didn't. And the one that didn't is now just in Djibouti, right? Just hopeless, right?
And doing, what do they do in Djibouti? They just get jobs and stay there? Or what happens in Djibouti?
Right. I mean, you know, a lot of folks, before they embark on that journey, they kind of just literally sell their whole livelihood away in Yemen, right? Because, I mean, they kind of have to, right? Mm-hmm. And so they're surviving, right? They're just stretching their money as much as they can. Mm-hmm.
Until they hear word from the consulate.
Right, right, which is almost never. Mm-hmm. And so some of them are now making really, like, hard decisions, right? Do I stay and, right, try to live my life here and try to find a job and, right? And so do I stay or do I go back home, right, to Yemen, to cholera, to U.S.-made, right, Saudi-led, like, missile airstrikes, right? And so a lot of Yemenis are in that position. And so these are the tough choices that a lot of people are making.